Okay, turn to Genesis and we'll continue our study through the book of Genesis, chapter 23. Well, actually, we finished up 23. Just got started on 24. 23, the last half is about Abraham finding a burial place for Sarah, his wife, and the purchase of that property and where it was. And then we get into chapter 24, and I'll just read the first few verses. We get started there again. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear or take an oath by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto thy son, or unto my son, excuse me, of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and unto my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." That's about where we stopped last week. So we see Abraham is looking for a wife for Isaac, and we know that Isaac is about, you remember?
Close to 40.
Right, because when he marries Rebekah, he's 40 years old. We find that later on in the book of Genesis. So Abraham goes to his eldest servant, most trusted servant that he has. We're not sure exactly who it was, but it might be this Eleazar that he talked about before. And he says, "I want you to go find a wife for my son." And we talked about the different circumstances that are involved here. And he, what does he say to him? Verse 4, he said, or end of 3 and verse 4, he says, "I don't want him to marry someone," what? "Local, from where I live. I don't want him marrying any of these people." Why? Do you know why?
Believers.
They're non-believers. Most of the Canaanites, if not all of them, were non-believers. And so he says to this servant, he says, "I want you to go to where?" Where does he tell him to go?
Go home,
back to my family. It's interesting. I actually did some looking. It says later on, in the, I think it's in chapter 31. I can't remember exactly now. He says to go back to my family, and we know that Nahor is his brother. And it actually says later on in Scripture, it talks about the God of Abraham and of Nahor. So it sounds like maybe Nahor was followed God and believed in him as well. So you might say he's a believer along with Abraham. It's just that Abraham was the chosen one. But it doesn't mean that Abraham and Sarah were the only ones that believed in God, right? Just because the story is about Abraham. So he says, "I want you to go home to my family and find a wife for him there." And obviously, again, looking for someone who believes in the one true living God like we do and follows God. So that's what he says. "I don't want you to find him a wife from here." And the servant said unto Abraham, or unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" And Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou bring not my son hither." Interesting here. What's the servant saying? Should I take Isaac with me so, you know, he can be involved in this process? After all, put yourself in the servant's position. So your whatever master, whatever it is, says to you, "Go find a wife for my son." As we keep going here, that's about the only thing that Abraham tells him, at least that's recorded in Scripture. So as the servant, you got a pretty big task on your hands, don't you? And we're going to talk more about that later. But he says, "So should I bring Isaac along?" What would be another reason for bringing Isaac along? Not that just that he could pick, but he's concerned about, if I do find someone there, what if she doesn't want to come back with me? I mean, after all, think of it from, we don't know that it's Rebecca yet, according to Scripture, but we know it was Rebecca. What if I go, I mean, I'm an old guy too, and I say I have, you know, my master's son, whatever, is looking for a wife. She doesn't know what she's getting either, does she? Do you have a photo to take? So you understand why the servant's saying, maybe I should take Isaac along with me so that we know that this is going to work. Would kind of take the pressure, a little pressure at least, off of the servant, wouldn't it? Sure, because they would have met prior to. But Abraham says, no, don't take my son back there. It's interesting here. What happened once Abraham and Sarah got to the promised land? What happened both times that they ventured outside of the promised land?
They got in trouble.
I mean, it was their fault that they got in trouble, but maybe they should never have left the promised land, and they would have never been in those situations that they would have gotten themselves in trouble. So maybe that's on Abraham's mind. I want my son to stay in the promised land and not leave, because every time I left, I had problems. You know that, by the way, does Isaac ever leave the promised land? No. He lives in that land of Canaan the whole time. Anyhow, verse 7, and the Lord God of heavens, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed I will give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. This is where kind of I get the idea that he says, God sent me to the promised land, I'm staying and I'm keeping Isaac in the promised land as well. But anyhow, so he says, God will send an angel before you. God's going to work out the circumstances for you to go and find a wife for my son. And if the woman, verse 8, will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son hither or thither again. Like that old English, don't you? So if you find someone that you think is the one, and the final test of that woman would be, are you willing to leave your home and travel all the way over to the land of Canaan, to a place you've probably never been before, and get married to my master's son? That would be kind of the biggest question, wouldn't it? Even if I found somebody, what if she doesn't want to go? And Abraham says, you know what? If she doesn't want to go, you're free of the oath that I've made you take, and just come on back. So now that the details are set, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear unto him concerning the matter. Okay, so he takes the oath, says, yes, I will do that. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia into the land of Nahor, which is Abraham's brother. So who all is traveling? The servant? Ten camels, so there's probably at least 9 other individuals with him, right? I don't think they're going to drag along extra camels. They use camels for, of course, maybe not, because they were hauling supplies as well. But more than likely, well, we know for sure that was other men, because we'll get to that later. So there are other individuals with them. So this caravan of 10 camels takes off. Remember we talked last week? Do you think that Isaac knew what was going on? I think so. I don't think a caravan of 10 camels and several individuals loaded up leaving camp is not exactly... You know, it's not like they stuck out in the middle of the night with one little donkey or something, and you know, one individual. So, yeah, right. It's not like it's, you know, I found somebody down here that nobody knows if they're here or there or gone or not. So obviously, it seems like Isaac would have known what was going on. And then we talked about Isaac's attitude and acceptance of this whole thing. So the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he rose and went into Mesopotamia, into the land of Nahor. So he's made the journey. We have no information about the journey, how long it took, but we know it was quite a journey. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city or outside of the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women come out to draw water. So it doesn't tell us why he came up with this idea, but again, put yourself in the servant's position. Okay, so I've made this trip. I've made it back to the land of my master's family. How am I going to do this? How would you do it? Stop and think. If you were put in this position, how would you find the right one? Got any ideas? See, I don't hear anybody making suggestions. What? You go where?
To a farm.
Oh, a farm. Okay. So God obviously leads him in the circumstance. So he goes to the well and parks his camels near the well. Now he knows that in the evening, the young women come out and gather water. They're gathering water for their household. They didn't have a bathroom. They didn't have a kitchen faucet. They didn't have a pump in every yard. You had to go to the well that the community used, and you had to draw water and what? Haul it back to your house, right? Whether it's one pitcher, two pitchers, whatever. And that was something that they had to do pretty much
every day.
And they would go in the evening. Why would they go in the evening?
Cool.
It's cooler in the evening. There you go. Here we go. So, and it was usually their job to do. So the young girls in that, well, not young girls, but because they'd have to be able to haul water. So they're hauling it in a pitcher. They're not hauling it in a little, whatever, ice cream bucket, you know. So there's some weight involved. So obviously it's not going to be, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12-year-old girls. So, and that was usually their job. They went there. So he has this idea. If I park by the well, instead of me having to go all these places, if I stop here, guess what? They're coming to me. Genius. And so God says, well, it doesn't say that God's saying, but I'm sure that he was led by God to stop there. So he stops and parks his camels, waiting for the women to come out and gather water. And he says to the Lord, he said, O Lord God of my master, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, or success is another way to say this, and show me kindness unto my master Abraham. So he stops and does what? He stops and prays. And again, this is why I keep talking about the servant and this job that God has given him to do. This is kind of an overwhelming job, isn't it? I mean, stop and think of how many girls you're going to have to. I might have to interview 50, 60 women here and see which one is going to, you know, willing to do this. And what am I going to say? And how am I going to determine this? So he prays. He needs direction. He needs guidance. He needs wisdom. And the best thing to do when you need that is what? Pray. Okay. When we need wisdom and guidance and understanding, what should we be doing? Just like the servant here. Lesson number one today. Okay. So the servant says, I pray that you'd give me good speed or success this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Before we keep going, that good speed or success, God, it's up to you to give me success this day. Speed, mine actually says good speed this day. And in a way, it could be this as well. And again, like I just mentioned, stop and think about how the possibility of how long this could take. Days, right? Weeks, maybe. I don't know how many young maidens are there in this village or town or city. 20, 30, 40, who knows? I might have to go through all of them till I find the right one. So he's saying, Lord, hopefully you give me success in this journey, in this task, and good speed. You know, if we could speed up this process somehow, that would help too. Behold, I stand here by the well, and the daughters of all the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass. So he comes up again with this idea. We're not told why, how, or where. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give to thy camels also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby I shall know. And I lost it. And thereby I shall know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. We'll stop there a minute. So he says, here's my idea, Lord. How about if I go approach whoever I see coming out here and stop and think? It could be the first one. It could be the second one. He could go up to somebody and say, hey, could I have some water? And they'd say, no, I got to tote this back to my house. Are you kidding me? You know, that means I got to go down to the well again. And it isn't necessarily a well where you'd, you know, we think of a well, well, I drop the bucket down the well and crank it back up. A lot of times this well was, you had to walk down several steps to get to where the water was, and then you had to carry your pitcher or whatever back up this flight of steps before you get to the ground, and then you got to take it back into the city to your house. And if you had to do up and down them steps, anybody ever haul water or heavy buckets of stuff up and down steps? Yeah, okay, so... Now, wait a minute. So he says, not only will she do that, which would be an act of kindness, right? Which would...
Most anybody would.
Right.
Any courtesy would.
Right. By the way, did you notice what the servant was asking for the situation or the answer to prayer to be? You know what his prayer was? Did it have anything to do with how she looked? Or how tall she was, or how short, or how fat, or how skinny, or anything. No. It was all about attitude and character, wasn't it? Because you'd have to be kind, to be willing to see to the needs of a stranger. And pardon me? Yes, well, and his animals, that's next. Hang on a minute. Okay, so that was not only water for me, and we know that he's got several individuals with him, so that's probably for them as well. So now you're talking about she might have to make a couple of extra trips or more down to this well. What else does he say? And
let her offer to give right, my camels.
Right.
I think they've got empty
buckets. We're going to get to that. And he says, and offer to feed or water my camels as well. So he's not going to ask her. She has to take the initiative to say, I'll water your camels as well. I found this interesting, so I started looking. Here's some information about camels. Did you know that camels can, actually I found three different. One said they can drink up to 40 gallons at a time. Another source says 32, and another source said 28 in a single sitting. Another source said they can drink up to 53 gallons in a matter of 3 minutes. So I've got everywhere from 28 to 53 gallons per camel. So even if you go to the least amount that I found online, 28 gallons per camel. Now they had been traveling, so chances are they were empty. Okay, no, 28 gallons per camel. 10 camels, that's how many gallons? 200 gallons. How big do you think the bucket was that she was toting water in? What? 280, yeah, right. Okay, I'd like to see that. So, pardon me, what did you say? Yeah. So, everybody knows what a Home Depot bucket is, right? 5 gallon bucket? Okay. So if you're hauling 5 gallons, do you know how heavy 5 gallons of water is?
40 pounds.
Yeah, okay. So 40 pounds per bucket, 280 gallons, 5 gallons at a time, and that's if her vase or vessel or container or whatever is 5 gallons. I've actually hauled 2 buckets of water up and down steps, and believe me, it'll wear you out in about one trip. Yeah, her vessel's probably got some weight too. So you're talking 40 pounds for every 5 gallons of water, and you're toting 280 gallons. You're 40, what's that, 40, 44 trips? No, 80. Over 50. Trips. Okay, now remember we said this is more than likely not, I drop the bucket down, somebody, you know, push the button and the button comes up, boop, dumps it in my, you know, and I'm going 5 feet. No, she's probably walking up and down these steps. More than 40 trips.
56.
More than 50, okay. More than, thanks, I had it figured out here. Oh yeah, 56, yeah, I had it written down. Now you understand what he is asking. Yeah, more than a lot. More than probably I'd be willing to do. You know, stranger. Yeah, for a stranger. Yeah, yeah. It might be, but that's not the idea. And probably you couldn't get the camels down to the well. That's why they walk down the steps and they carry it up one bucket or pail at a time. But what I'm saying is, do you realize the circumstances that the servant says, God, if this is the right one, she's going to offer to make 50 trips up and down these steps carrying water. You see what he's asking? Yeah. You see the circumstance, the request that he made? Right. That's what I'm saying. His whole circumstance that he says to God, if this is the one, have her do this. She has to be willing to. Everybody has camels back then. She knows that I'm not making 2 trips down to the well and that's going to be enough for 10 camels. She understands that I've got hours, right? Probably, of toting water for, I mean, she can obviously see there's more than one camel there. She understands the circumstance that she put herself in, yet she's willing to serve and do this task.
It kind of reminds me of when the Philistines sent the ark back,
mm-hmm.
and they took the cows that have children, and they took children away, right? And then they said, okay, if the cows walk straight and don't turn away and don't go after mm-hmm.
Right.
Then
yeah. Well, yeah. Don't we sometimes, you know, we feel the Lord's leading us some direction and say, okay, Lord, but the circumstances need to, you know, you're calling me to the mission field, but I'd have no way of getting myself there. So if you provide the funds, or you provide the, you know, you work out. Don't we ask the Lord to open and close doors?
Sure we do.
So that's what the servant has said. If you open this door and show me which individual that's going to bring success to this trip that I've asked you for, and we still don't know how fast this is going to take place, but we'll see that in a minute. Right. Right. Well, I may have to do this 4, 5, or 6 times before I find the right one, but who's making the decision here? God, really? Because God's going to lead this individual to be willing to make this offer, right? I think, well, let's keep going for here for a second. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. So it sounds like, who's the first one to the well?
Rebecca.
It sounds like Rebekah is the first one that he encounters to the well. Now, we go back to this job. This job gets done every day. This job is a tedious job. Nobody likes hauling water, okay? Right? But another insight into Rebecca's character is she is the first one at the well. She doesn't dawdle, really? Do I have to do this again? You know, or drag my feet on the way out to the well? Really? Come on. So she seemed, again, back to attitude. Her attitude is, there's a job that needs to be done. I'm going to get this job done. Remember we talked about speed? God has answered this prayer, and now the servant doesn't know about the details, but before he's done praying, God is already working, right? It tells us who she is, although the servant doesn't know right now, but it tells us in the narrative who she is, and the damsel was very fair to look upon and a virgin. Bing, bing, two pluses. Well, one requirement, one plus. Neither had known any man, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. So she goes, again, remember, down the steps, so down to the well, and back up with her pitcher. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water from your pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hurried to let it down, hasted to let it down, her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also, until what? Until I gave them each a little drink?" No, until they're done drinking. So now we're back to at least 56 trips up and down these stairs, maybe more. It could have been twice that. I don't know how big the camels were, how much they drank. God, I think, delights in answering prayer when it almost seems like it'd be impossible for that prayer to be answered. God likes providing in circumstances when you know that it's got to be the only way anybody is going to be, I'd say dumb enough, but willing to put in that kind of effort for a stranger. God's got a lead, right? In that circumstance. And God delights in providing and answering prayer in circumstances where it seems impossible, or at least very unlikely. I'm sure that servant thought, I might have to go through, again, 10, 15, 20, 30 different girls before I find one that's willing to make 50 trips up and down those stairs. Right? I mean, that's reasonable. That would be reasonable. But God does it what?
Always doing a reasonable thing.
Yeah. With the first one that comes along. Huh? His timing. Right. That exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. A reasonable request, he could still work in those circumstances, couldn't he? You know, "Lord, my car's broke down. I don't have the money, so I need..." You know, it's not unreasonable to, you know, for the small things as well. But in these things where you say, how could that ever happen? God works in those circumstances as well, doesn't he? Frank. Yeah, yeah. Okay, hopefully the Lord's blessed you with... Doug.
We got to remember, too, this was evening.
Yeah.
We have all day to do this.
Yeah, it was evening, so anyhow. Okay, Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.